Thank you for joining us here today at Calvary Church, where we are committed to loving God and loving people. If you have any questions or want to learn more about who we are, visit us online at calvary.ca. Now let's check out this week's message from our lead pastor, Steve McDonald.
Welcome to week number 3 of a month-long series that we're in called Balance. Such an honor to be with all of you and to join you in your homes, on your phone, from wherever you are, either here at home, across our nation, or around the world. You know, this series, we've been looking into the four integral priorities that are needed to live a healthy, balanced life. And that's a challenge for all of us. We've been looking at God and family, looking at work and health. And it's not until we find a balance in Christ and keep our priorities in check that we discover that. And so I think it's easy sometimes to get locked into one or to even overdo it in one of the others. And so as Christ followers, we need to be diligent to find that rhythm that God has created for each of us and intended for each of us. I think most people believe that somehow if they just find the right system, that they can get everything done, that they can just make it all happen. But I believe this is a lie, honestly, that we tell ourselves to think that we can try to accomplish everything. And then we do, and it all comes crashing to the ground, and many of us kind of learn the hard way. But the truth is, you can't do it all. You know, time is a limited resource, and that's just something that we all have to understand and we have to accept. But you know what? It doesn't stop any of us from trying. I know that I have tried it over the years, and it usually leads in my life to identify an imbalance that will then in turn lead to some form of change. Because without that change, it heads to a place of destruction. And lasting change, as we have been learning over the last couple of weeks, has to do with who sits at the top of that list. When it comes to priorities, who do you seek first? Jesus, in his Sermon on the Mount, he zeroed in on these principles of priority, these principles of what balance looks like in our lives. In Matthew 6:33, he said, "Seek first the kingdom and his righteousness." So he's talking about priorities. "And all these things will be given to you in a balance." So until we have him at the top of that list, the rest of those things kind of continue to swirl around in our lives. And so it's from this healthy starting point that the balance flows from in all of these different areas, like family that we talked about last week, and even in the area of work, which we're going to zero in and look at today. You know, work is actually a gift from God, although for many of us, some days it seems more like a punishment. You know, Oscar Wilde once said, "The best way to appreciate your job is to imagine yourself without one." I can remember the first time I was old enough to get a job. My dad said to me, "You will always have a job, because even when you don't have one, your full-time job is to get out there and find one." You know what? I've had that work ethic in my mind ever since I heard that. And I have not been a clock watcher. I'm not the kind of person that counts the hours to the end of the day. I wanted to do my job well. You know, I was rock solid in that work ethic that was kind of given to me by my parents and the way that they lived their lives. I think my first job ever was babysitting. And I can remember that night, at the end of the night, somebody giving me money and holding it in my hand going, "This is mine. I earned this. I made this happen. I watched television, I ate pizza while somebody else's kids slept, but I made this money." And it was that inspiration that led me to my next job, and that one to the next. And so over the years, I've worked at many different jobs and done many different things, all from pumping gas at a service station, gas station, through to designing my own t-shirts, had my own apparel company. I would design and sell t-shirts. I even was an assistant for a plumber, and we worked on homes in the middle of the winter in these foundations where we had to dig away the snow just to get at the work area. It was not pleasant. So hats off to all you plumbers who work in these cold conditions. I also worked on a crew that installed swimming pools, dug pools. I mean, it was back-breaking labor, breaking rocks, digging holes in the middle of the summer. And the crew that I worked with each and every day would pray for rain. They pray for rain so that we could go home early and that the day would be shortened. It was a hilarious thing each day to see if that would actually happen. You know, in my life, I've moved from that into something that interested me a little bit more. I worked in a design studio, and I started off, it wasn't glamorous, it wasn't pretty. I was getting the boss lunch and coffee. I was cleaning up the office. But you know what? Eventually, I became an apprentice. I worked hard. I applied myself and then became a designer. And so that sense of accomplishment with diligently applying myself was paying off over the years. And then through Bible college, I worked part-time in a sign shop as a designer. And then at nights, I would drive limousines, driving corporate executives back and forth to the airport. Had great stories that I heard, great conversations. I love being around people. You know what? Some of the greatest papers I wrote in Bible college and some of the best results on exams happened in the back of that limousine where I studied, where I wrote those papers. It was not a bad mobile office in those early days. But you know, I may not have loved all of the jobs that I've had in my lifetime, but I worked hard and I advanced slowly but surely. I was never fired. As a matter of fact, anytime I had a better opportunity for a different job, I would leave that job with them wanting me to stay longer. It was important to me to finish well, never to burn bridges behind me. Ecclesiastes chapter 9, verse 10, Solomon says, "Whatever your hand finds to do, do it with all your might." That was the approach that I took at whatever I was doing. Proverbs 10, verse 4, Solomon adds, "Lazy hands make for poverty, but diligent hands bring wealth." You know, I've learned that whatever I put my hand to do, that I was going to give it my very best. And to this day, the call on my life to work diligently remains the same in everything that I do. Now, when we look at Scripture, you look at the significance and the benefits of working diligently, and you see this as a recurring theme throughout the Bible. As a matter of fact, the origin of work is first seen in the book of Genesis. In the opening chapter, God is the primary worker. He's busy with the creation of the world. The Bible tells us that God worked hard for 6 days, and then he rested on that seventh day. And so these passages, they reveal to us that God was the first one to do work on the earth and even to prioritize rest. So legitimate work reflects the activity of God. And because God is inherently good, so is the work that we find ourselves doing. Not only that, when God stopped to look at his creation, Scripture says that he called it very good. He observed. It's like when we paint a wall at home or build a shelf. I don't know about you, but I sit back for a little while and I keep finding myself looking at that part of the room where I've done the work and realizing that there's a sense of satisfaction that comes when you say, "That's good. It looks good." And so God did the same thing. He examined and he assessed the quality of his work. And when he determined that what he had done was good, then he took pleasure in that outcome. And so this, by example, is that clear path that we see that work should always be productive. Work should be done in a way that produces the highest quality when it comes to its outcome. And the reward for that work is the honor and satisfaction that comes from a job well done. Like my first babysitting job, when I got paid for the effort that I put into it. Such an effort. You know, we were created in his image with his characteristics. God created man to work with him in this world. That was his plan. He planted a garden and then he put Adam in it to cultivate it and to maintain it. And even though the original plan for Adam and Eve to subdue and rule over the earth was derailed by sin, God sent his Son to redeem it. And so work is really of no value whatsoever except when God is in it. John 4:34 says, "My food," says Jesus, "is to do the will of the one who sent me and to finish his work." It's not how you start the race, it's how you finish. And Jesus was a finisher. You know, in my experience, the key to finishing the work that he's called us to do is found in that work-life balance that starts at the very beginning with a crystal clear understanding of what our priorities need to be. Colossians chapter 3, verse 23 through 24 says, "Whatever work you do, do it with your whole heart. Work diligently. Do it for the Lord and not for men. Remember that you will get your reward from the Lord, and he will give you what you should receive. You are working for the Lord." This means that it doesn't matter what you do for a living. As long as you work hard and do it with your whole heart before God, it's pleasing to him. Whether you're in the marketplace, whether you're in the ministry, or whether you're doing one of the highest callings there is and working at raising a family and developing that next generation. You may not like your job, you may not even like your boss, but by working for God and not for man, God will honor you for honoring him. See, we're all called to work at reaching the lost, some within the church and others within the marketplace. It's a balance. We all need to be busy and productively working at that mission. So as Christ's followers, we kind of live as strangers in a culture of contradictions. And that's never been more clear than the day we're living in right now. But how do we live for Christ in a world that is constantly pulling us in different directions? Do you live to work, or do you work to live? You see, people typically err on one of those two extremes when it comes to the elusive work and life balance. Some live to work. That's just how they do it. It's not uncommon for people, whether they wear a white collar, a blue collar, no collar, or a pastor, a clerical collar, to work 60, 70, 80 hours in a week. You know what? When I was back in college, I was applying myself to my studies, but I was also working at three different jobs, trying to run my own freelance design business, trying to work at a sign shop, and trying to drive back and forth to the airport with my corporate clients. And so it wasn't an uncommon thing for me to pull an all-nighter. I did that many, many times, trying to work on a paper through the night. Some of you students will know exactly what I'm talking about. And I got it done. And in the younger years, it was a little bit easier to accomplish, but it wasn't the greatest balance. It wasn't something that could be sustained. See, some people today are required to work at a job that has many hours attached to it. But for some, it's a kind of an obsession work. It's this pursuit of success and status and wealth and the accolades that all come with it. But it's a choice. It's a choice we make to prioritize that time over the things that mean the most in our lives. You can get done in 40 to 50 hours a week what sometimes you end up doing in 80 hours when you start to make first things first. But then other people, they work to live. I think we tend to look at this option as the holier or more honorable option of the two. But truly, sometimes it's just an excuse for laziness or the result of a time-consuming interest or a hobby or a non-essential commitment that gives the appearance of importance, like somehow you've arrived. You know, when I worked at that sign shop back in the day, I was surprised at how anxiously my coworkers would watch the clock on the wall, counting down the hours to happy hour so they could get off and party and celebrate. And most of them, the subject of their conversation as they worked was what they did on the weekend. And then if it wasn't what they did on the weekend, it was what they were going to do on the weekend that was coming. See, they didn't want to be there. And their attitude was reflected in their work. So you know what? I've given a lot of thought to this over the years, this question, do I live to work or do I work to live? And I think after all this time, I've come to realize that it's really both. It's a balance of the two. God has shaped each of us with great purpose. And I believe three essential truths apply here. So let me give them to you. The first one is that God shaped you and I to work and create. God formed us in his own image, and then he placed us within an intricate system that requires our care, our cultivation, and our stewardship. And then he also placed us in this amazing creation, full of inspiration, all kinds of room to dream big, to create, to build, to express ourselves, a world that's truly filled with possibility. And his creation mandate charges us with the responsibility to rule over the earth as his representative. Genesis 1, 27 to 28 says, "So God created mankind in his own image. In the image of God, he created them, male and female. God blessed them and said to them, 'Be fruitful and increase in number. Fill the earth and subdue it.'" In other words, bring order. Make this a place where people can thrive and advance in their lives. You know what? I believe it's good, it's right, and it's a holy thing to give yourself to honest work, to provide for the people that you love, and to create excellent products to contribute to the common good. We're being faithful to God, I believe, when we work well, whether that's in ministry, whether that's a doctor in the operating room, whether that's someone on Wall Street. There's all different types of things that we put our hands to do, but when we do it for the Lord, when we do it with him as in that seat of priority within our lives, it pleases God. Number two, God shaped us to require rest. God established this rhythm from the very beginning. And in creating the heavens and the earth, he took that time on the seventh day to rest. And he made that day holy. And so, did God rest because he was exhausted? Absolutely not. He possesses immeasurable, inexhaustible strength. The Creator didn't require rest. But because he knew that his creation would require regular relaxation, time to reflect, time to have recreation, he set this one day of the week aside and commanded those who worship him to honor it. We're human beings, we're not machines. So we require this regular routine to remember that we depend on God, to enjoy the people that he's put in our lives, to enjoy his creation. And in all of that, to recalibrate our hearts and our souls and to worship God in the midst of all of his creation. You see, it's this kingdom rhythm that ensures that our work is productive. And then finally, number three, God shaped us to resist imbalance. You know, I think our natural bend is towards idolatry and imbalance, giving honor and praise and priority to anything but God. And it's really at the heart of the matter of what we're talking about today. You see, work is a false god and free time is a lousy lord when it comes to living our lives. Neither deserves to sit on the throne of your hearts. That place is reserved for God alone. So if we're serving either the God of work or the Lord of leisure, we'll never experience peace. We'll never experience true understanding of our purpose. We'll never understand the balance that we need that's only found in Christ. So, as fully devoted followers of Christ, how do you spend your time working? How do you spend your free time? Well, when you're at work serving within the church or within the marketplace, work diligently. Work with all your heart as if you're serving the Lord and not serving a team leader or your boss. Give everything that you have. And when you have free time, let the peace of Christ rule in your hearts. Rest regularly. Be thankful and reflect on God's love and everything that he's done for you. and do it all in the name of Jesus. You know, at Calvary, we believe that every member is a ministry and that we're all called to the honorable work of the Great Commission. God needs those who work full-time within the church, but he also needs his people effectively working and leading in the marketplace and in the corporate world. They're equally important. True success and balance is obeying and following God's call on your life. You know, the work-life balance is only achieved when we work diligently for him and rest regularly in him. Let's pray. Father, we thank you today for your purpose in each one of our lives. I pray that everything that we put our hand to do, that we would do it to honor you, that we would work diligently, that we would rest regularly, and that we would see that our work can be productive and not done at the expense of those that we live. Help us to keep our priorities as we seek you first, and to have that balance in our work life, in our family life, and in all that you've called us to do. In Jesus' name we pray, amen. Amen. You know, in just a minute, Pastor Brad is going to take up the offering, but I want to take a moment as we close to thank all of you for your generous giving, even through a peculiar time. And I want to challenge you as we press into this year to continue to be generous in your giving. Continue to support all that God has called us to do. And I pray for the most change to happen within your life, to be connected to the Word of God. That today, as you hear this message, each week as we walk through Scripture, I pray that you would apply it in the days to come. That you would seek to find that balance in him as you seek God first. I love you all, Calvary. God's best. Have an amazing week, and we'll see you next Sunday for Calvary Church Online.